Welcome to episode number 224 of Backseat Box Office for the weekend of March 20th through March 22nd. Do that with a wooden stick. Hey, this is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and I would like to welcome you to the Snot Rocket edition of Backseat Box Office. Now, what I mean by that is one of us is feeling a little under the weather, and I'm going to let you figure out who that is. Art, how's it going?
I'm going to do my best to make it not seem like it's me.
Okay, that's fine. There's a thing in Hollywood. We can always fix it in post. All right, so let's talk about last week's. What am I trying to say here? Oh yeah, box office results for last weekend, that being March 13th through the 15th. At number one, we have Cinderella with $67.8 million. At number two, we had Run All Night with $11.0 million. At number three, Kingsman: The Secret Service came in with $6.2 million. At number four, Focus, $5.7 million. And at number five, Chappie, also at $5.7 million. And there's your top five. What in the world got into Cinderella?
I don't know. All little girls went to see it, I suppose. It looked like a good movie, had some good stars in it. Apparently, it's firing both barrels. I like seeing Kingsman still hanging in there. It's total gross so far, $107 million. That's good. 5 weeks in the top five. Chappie's still clinging by a thread, but $23 million, not as good.
I've already given up on Chappie. Kingsman, though, that's good news. That's good news. Supposedly, you're supposed to make back double your budget to be in the black, so you still got a little ways to go. So there's always hoping for that. So, yeah, nothing too surprising. You know, it just seems like kind of a little more of the dog days. Even though we did have a $60 million plus movie, but you know, nothing.
Yeah, it's big for this time of year.
It's not a big battle. So, okay. So that was the results of last week and box office. So now let's, move our attention to the movies that are coming out in wide release this weekend. Art, why don't you tell us about the first one?
Okay. First up, we have Insurgent. Rated 32% rotten on the tomato meter, 41 reviews counted, 13 fresh, 20 ratings. The Divergent series Insurgent raises the stakes for Triss as she searches for allies and answers in the ruins of a futuristic Chicago. Triss, Woodley, and four, James, are now fugitives on the run, hunted by Janine Winslet, the leader of the power-hungry, erudite elite. Racing against time, they must find out what Triss's family sacrificed their lives to protect, and why the erudite leaders will do anything to stop them. Hunted by her past choices, but desperate to protect the ones she loves, Triss, with four at her side, faces one impossible challenge after another, as they unlock the truth about the past and ultimately the future of their world. Rated PG-13 for intense violence and action throughout, some sensuality, thematic elements, and brief language. Directed by Robert Schwetke and Neil Berger, written by Akiva Goldsman, Brian Duffield, Mark Bombeck. Runtime, 1 hour and 59 minutes. So we have Shailene Woodley, we already talked about, Theo James. I am not seeing any other big names on this list. Anybody else you... Well, Kate, you
already talked about. Some new names, Octavia Spencer, Naomi Watts, they weren't in the first one. Other than that, there was a lot of also Daniel Day Kim, who was Lost and Hawaii 5-0.
Oh yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay, so yeah, there's a. I don't know what the first one got, but we're looking at 32% for the tomato meter on this one, but the reviews that I've read said it's better than the first one. So my daughter is a huge fan of the books. So I don't think, as usual, I don't think there's any way I'm getting out of this. Even though I'm mildly intrigued about this one. I enjoy Hunger Games a little bit more because I think it's more of a probable thing. This, the for me, the future told by the series of movies just seems wackadoodle. But, you know, I'll just suspend disbelief here.
Right. Well, you know, it said she's overcoming one impossible challenge after another. Isn't something that's impossible by its very nature not possible to do? Mm-hmm. So, highly unlikely to succeed challenge, maybe?
Yeah. Well, you know, this just in, there might be some hyperbole in the description.
Yes, I think so. Just a little bit. Okay, why don't you tell us about our next movie?
All right, so for the third time in cinematic history, we have a movie called The Gunman. This one is 21% on the tomato meter, out of 28 reviews, 6 fresh, 22 rotten. And out of the Rotten Tomato user community, we have 91% want to see it, and 8,000 people felt like they had the vote to tell us that they wanted to see it. Okay, so here's the description, or not see it in that case. The Gunman, the new action thriller from Pierre Morel, the director of Taken, stars Sean Penn, Javier Bardem, Idris Elba, Ray Winstone, and Mark Rylance. Rated R for strong violence, language, and some sexuality. Genres action-adventure, directed by Pierre Morel. Directed by Don McPherson, Jean-Patrick Manchette, I hope, Pete Travis, and Peter Travis. There we go again with the clones. And the runtime is 1 hour and 55 minutes. It has, like we said, Sean Penn, Idris Elba, Javier Bardem, Ray Winstone, Mark Rylance. So, yeah, another older tour de force for older actors.
Old man action star. I feel like they're lining up all the old men in Hollywood, and they're like, okay, who wants an action film next? And somebody's, you know, out there going, ooh, me. All right, Sean Penn, your turn. You know, it's just like...
Well, pretty soon we're going to have, I don't know, the crossover or the team up of, I don't know, the Taken Gunman. Taken plus Expendables. I don't know. I will avoid. I need to watch Taken, I guess, before I watch this, so I know what to expect and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I think next up we're going to go with like full-blown geriatrics, you know, like, I don't know who's the oldest, grayest person you can think of. That's are going to be our next action star.
Full Metal Wheelchair? No.
Full Metal Wheelchair. That's good, sir. That's good.
Okay. Well, I was thinking of Ironsides when I was saying it. And one other thing before we talk about the movies that are coming out this weekend, I was looking at, just for old time's sake, I was looking at the indie movies. And there was one movie that was at the bottom of the list on Box Office Mojo. Zombievers.
I've heard of this. I will tell you why I've heard of this.
Okay, go ahead.
The guy behind Zombievers was the host on How Did This Get Made, the last episode that dropped. And so at the end of the show, when we're talking about what do you want to plug, he plugged Zombievers. So this is somebody's love child out there. Zombievers is getting released, and I do not remember the guy's name off the top of my head.
Yeah. No, the one thing I was noticing is that one of the comedians that I follow, Bill Burr, is in this. So I'm not too surprised that the creative team, in one way or another, ended up with on that podcast. It says the director is Jordan Rubin. That sound familiar?
Yes, Jordan Rubin. Okay. He did the Safe Haven episode.
Oh, okay.
So it was, yeah, and that was a good episode, because Safe Haven was a whacked out movie.
Oh, yeah.
I specifically went out of my way to see Safe Haven once I found out what the twist was at the end.
That was Nick Sparks, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yes.
So I think when it was in the theaters, I for some reason think that I know Lena was on the show. I don't know if you were there yet.
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, okay. All right.
Because that was
good on me remembering that.
Yeah, that was one of his. I think he's had one more movie since then, so that's a more recent movie.
Oh, okay.
Or that might be the last. I'm not sure. It's either the last movie he did or the one just before the last one. I don't follow his career that closely to know right off the top of my head, but But yeah, so Zombievers, you know, it's a what's the word I'm looking for? A labor of love for Mr. Rubin.
All right, so that will conclude movies that are coming out wide release. So Art, what'd you watch last week?
What did I watch last week? Okay, sir, I have a list. Well, let me start off by saying that, have you seen the trailer for Pixels?
Isn't Adam Sandler in that?
Yes, it is. Yes, okay, he is.
Then no.
Okay. I do not. I don't know how this got greenlit. I really don't. The premise of the movie, it's all laid out in the trailer. That, you know, we sent out a time capsule in space in 1982, and it had a bunch of stuff in it that represented our culture, and it was completely misunderstood by the aliens. And now the aliens have sent back something to attack us. And basically what's attacking us is giant pixelated energy constructs of video games. So there's a giant Pac-Man running around chomping things, and space invaders coming down and blasting at the city. And it looks crazy, and I don't know how this got greenlit, because it does not look... I, the movie doesn't even know what it is, because it's not serious. It's because it's Adam Sandler and Kevin James. It's mm-hmm. supposed to be straight-up comedy, but the world is straight-up getting destroyed. I think it's going to go... Do you remember Evolution?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to go down those lines to where they're trying to be slapsticky, but people are dying all over the place. So I really don't know what to think about that. But so check out that trailer, and then we can talk about it more later. I finished the last episode of Star Wars Rebels, and oh my goodness, I love it. I did not see who Fulcrum was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I just the other rebel cells coming into the system, all the rebel blockade runners. It was a good episode, and I was just, oh my goodness, I was like, yes, this is good. I cannot wait for more Star Wars Rebels.
I'm starting to think that there is a section of the Jedi training with lightsaber duels on catwalks. But yeah, that sequence was really good.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I'm sad about the Inquisitor.
Nah, they're a dime a dozen. And plus, look who they sent to replace him.
True. But, you know, again, there's no suspense on, is he going to kill Vader? Is he going to kill Vader? No, he's, you know, we know what happens to Vader.
Vader is an implacable foe.
Right.
Vader is, you know, it all comes down to, who is Vader going to kill?
Right.
We know nobody's going to kill Vader, but who's Vader going to get?
Right.
Kind of a thing. That's the way I'm looking at it. So I finished up Agent Carter.
Oh, okay. Very good.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did not like the, how am I going to phrase this? The Rose and the Heart of the Sea moment. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Mm-hmm.
Because she
throws away the Marauder's blood.
Yes.
Yeah.
There are so many things that kind of, I don't know, that kind of spun out of that in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
The continued experimentation and refinement of the super soldier serum. You know, that there are so many other characters that kind of spawn from that. Even the, like, high-level agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the comics are using a derivative of that formula, you know, and I'd like to, you know, that's something they could have implemented somewhere down the road if they wanted to kick things up a notch, you know, or maybe to explain why certain members of the S.H.I.E.L.D. team are just so unstoppable and so badass, you know, so I don't know. And let's see. Oh, I was talking about how we talked briefly about how certain companies, Disney, continue to pump out movies at a very quick and regular basis. So I saw the latest, I'm totally blanking on the name, Tinkerbell movie, The Legend of the Never Beast.
Okay.
Aubrey absolutely loved it, watched it over and over and over again, and it's a really cute story. And I continue to be amazed how much quality is being put into these. I also saw the latest Barbie movie. And there is a night and day difference between the production of these two movies. Barbie looks like something somebody made on their, you know, high-end computer at home. And The Legend of the Never-Beast looks like something that was made by a professional studio. So I don't know. I know it's not, neither one of these are anything you're ever going to watch. But anybody who's listening who has a child, particularly a girl in the range from, you know, 3 to 8, maybe 9, the Tinkerbell and Legend of the Never-Beast was a really good movie. I enjoyed it. Very heartfelt. The last thing I watched. So I was reprimanded for having once again watched something that somebody else recommended. And I was telling Brittany about this, how, you know, Tony was on and Tony talked about Pacific Rim and I watched Pacific Rim. And then Tad leaves a voicemail and talks about 100. And we, you know, power watch, binge watch the entire first season of the 100. And she was like, well, tell him to make a recommendation. I said, you know what? You go ask him for one. So Brittany approached you on Facebook and asked you for a recommendation. And the first thing you recommended was Chef. And we put it on and Brittany got bored and walked away.
I believe she said lame.
Yes.
in the message. Okay, well, I tried.
I thoroughly enjoyed that movie.
Okay, good.
Absolutely loved it. I continue to really enjoy anything Jon Favreau does. And just seeing him, knowing that he wrote it, he started it, and directed it, it was a fabulous movie. I really, really enjoyed it. Great performances by all. Sofia Vergara was very good in it. John Leguizamo, I've been a John Leguizamo fan ever since the stand-up back on HBO. The kid was phenomenal. It was just, it was really well done. Robert Downey Jr. was in it, and he had a great role to play. I mean, it was just, it really was firing on all cylinders. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed the movie. Thank you for the recommendation.
Oh, you're welcome. And all I was going to say, my thought process was not what would be a good movie for you to watch together or what Brittany would enjoy, what you would enjoy. What movie do I want to see next that I don't have yet? So I put down Chef.
Nice.
The off chance that it was on Netflix, and I think I remember it was.
It was on Netflix. That's where I watched it. So Chef was very good. And so if you haven't seen it, go see it. I really, really enjoyed it.
Okay, good.
And that's all I've got for share time, sir. Tell me about your week.
Share time was really bad for my week because my daughter is obsessed with Lost. So we got through the end of season one and we started the first episode of season two. And that's pretty much been dominating all of my viewing time. Now, and I forgot that on my, I'm still one of the few that still has the DVD service for Netflix, and I forgot that in my queue I put The Prestige and The Illusionist together. So I have The Illusionist DVD, so my goal is to watch it this weekend. All right, so that's about it. So I guess now that we're done with share time, let's talk about news. Art, what do you have to enlighten our wonderful audience?
Okay, well, I'm going to go with the one that made me want to cry. I'm not going to go with that one because you have something else to say first. So I am going to go with this one instead. Okay, so I know we've talked about this in the past because you're a helicopter buff, right?
Yes.
Okay.
A closet helicopter buff. Okay, go ahead.
No, you like helicopters. And, you know, we've seen movies in helicopters and TV shows and blah, 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 blah. Blue Thunder is getting remade because drones are so hot right now. So they're working on a Blue Thunder remake, but instead of helicopters, it's going to be focused on drones and how they are changing the way we look at the world, the things that might be happening in the future, you know, spying, reconnaissance, who's watching who and what's going on, because that's really what Blue Thunder was about. So I thought that was interesting, and I thought I'd bring that to the forefront. Blue Thunder getting remade.
Yeah, you know, I could see that that'd probably be an enjoyable movie. I wonder if they'll bring back, you know, Jaffo, just another effing observer.
Yes. Oh, you know what? Is Roy Scheider still alive? He could be our geriatric action star.
I don't know about Mr. Schneider.
Yeah, well, that's probably not very likely. He was old back then.
Right. All right, so...
Stan Lee is alive. What?
Sorry. Yeah. So, Art, I have to know, what was going to make you cry?
Oh, no. Go ahead. Bring your first story.
Okay.
Or maybe you'll bring it out. I don't know. We'll see.
I gotta talk about Star Wars.
Okay. Tell me about Star Wars, sir.
Apparently, there was a shareholders meeting for Disney last week, and they've announced the title of the movie that's coming out of the pipeline after Star Wars Episode 7. It is going to be called Star Wars : Rogue One. And the only thing we know that it will star Felicity Jones, who was in The Theory of Everything. It is slated for a December 16th, 2016 release, and it will begin shooting this summer.
This has me very excited. I read a lot of those books, the Rogue Squadron books.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited. I don't know. We haven't heard anything about, as far as like who might be directing or who's writing.
Funny you should say that. Says here, the idea for the story of Rogue One came from John Knoll, an Academy Award-winning visual effects supervisor and chief creative officer at ILM. He will executive produce along with Simon Emmanuel, says it here, Dark Knight Rises and Fast and Furious 6, and Jason McGatlin, Tintin and War of the Worlds. Kathleen Kennedy and Tony Tu, who did Band of Brothers in the Pacific, are on board to produce, and John Schwartz... May the Schwartz be with you. Star Wars The Force Awakens will co-produce. The film starts shooting this summer in London and is due for release on what I've already said before, December 16, 2016. Update, the original writer for the film, Gary Whitta, claims to have come up with the name Rogue One.
Okay,
first paragraph, directed by Gareth Edwards, who did the recent Godzilla,
okay,
and written by Chris Weitz, who I have no idea who was. Or who that is.
Okay, well, that all sounds very interesting. Very happy to hear, you know, that another little spin-off movie with a lot of potential. Because, like I said, I really like the whole Rogue Squadron series. So that gives me hope. Now, here is my story that's making me cry. John Williams will not score Star Wars Rogue One. What? Who fell on their face? How did this happen?
That's interesting, because there was another headline that said he's not going to score a Spielberg film for the first time in 30 years.
Wow. Is he just getting older and not working as much?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. But yeah, that is sacrilegious.
He's 83.
Yeah.
He's going to continue to score the episode movies like The Force Awakens, but will leave standalone movies to franchise newcomers.
Yeah, it says here, hold on.
Alexander Desplat is the will handle the score.
I like his music. I don't know how his space opera will come out, but
so yeah, that's what it'll be interesting to see what kind of direction they take.
Oh, okay. According to The Verge, that he's not going to be scoring the next Spielberg movie, which is a Cold War thriller called Bridge of Spies. Disney says that his involvement was impeded by a minor health issue, which it says is now corrected.
Okay.
And he will resume working with Spielberg for his next picture, an adaptation of the BFG. So maybe this is just a blip.
Yeah, but he's getting up there in age. So at some point, he's no longer pass be the baton. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
All right. There's not a whole lot that I have left, but since we were talking about Netflix and Chef and all that, I have two Netflix stories. First one is movies that will be leaving Netflix Instant Streaming on April 1st. So I'll just kind of blow through these. Not all of them, but the 1982 version of Annie.
Meh.
1996 Cable Guy.
Meh.
Clue.
Oh, I have that on DVD.
Get Shorty.
Meh.
Good Morning Vietnam.
That's a classic.
All Three Karate Kids.
They're all on Netflix right now? Interesting. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that.
Mystic Pizza and Mystic River. So they are putting the kibosh on all Mystics.
All Mystics. Nice.
Pee Wee Big Adventure. Philadelphia. reindeer
games?
It seems
like some type of persecution.
One movie that I really like, The Whole Nine Yards. And they also said, also leaving in April, Sleeping Beauty 2011. And that's all I really care about.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, memo to Brittany, so don't mention these like you did Avengers that one time.
Right, yeah.
Okay, Art, what do you got next?
All right, my last story. Why the Fantastic Four cast was told not to read comics. So, they were told not to delve too deep into comic books since the film would not be going out of its way to resemble those materials. The quote is saying, we were actually kind of told not to necessarily ingest everything because we were looking to kind of put our own stamp on it. Obviously, we're looking to pay respect to the history of the characters, but at the same time, kind of bring them up to date and to humanize them in a way that hadn't been done in a while. The quote seems to mirror something said by co-star Kate Mara last year. Blah, 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 blah. So, yeah. So, I wonder how much they're going to kind of, maybe not necessarily diverge, but kind of plot their own course through these people's lives. So, I keep waffling back and forth. That makes me not less interested, but a little more apprehensive. That's the word.
Yeah. Well, you know what you can do. All right. So my last story is I talked about what is leaving.
Ooh, what's coming?
What's coming in April? Okay. Well, Barnyard 2006.
Nice.
Not only Leprechaun 3, but Leprechaun 4 in space and Leprechaun 6 Back to the Hood.
So bad.
Things you can't unknow. Okay, yeah. Underworld, the 2003 Underworld is coming.
I enjoyed that movie.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Starting April 2nd, Sinbad the Fifth Voyage.
Ooh.
That says what? 2014.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. Starting April 3rd, All Hail King Julian, Season 1. Didn't realize that was a thing, but my son would be happy.
Where have I seen that? I believe that's already on Netflix.
Halt and Catch Fire, Season 1. The TV series will be on Netflix April 8th. April 10th, April 10th, the big thing is Marvel's Daredevil, Season 1.
Yes, absolutely.
Let me see here. April 13th, there's a series called Video Game High School, Season 3.
Yes, I've seen some of that. It's pretty interesting.
Available April 16th, we have Hot Fuzz. I really enjoyed that movie. Sons of Anarchy, Season 7. National Treasure. Oh, I'm sorry, that's it. National Treasure was the last thing.
Okay. Yeah, All Hail King Julian. Now, I don't know if it's like, there's only 5 episodes. So
right,
maybe
right.
There's the full, so all of it's going to be available. They're expanding, or maybe somebody screwed up.
Oh, one that I bypassed and I probably shouldn't have. On April 17th, They Came Together, which was last year's one of the most underrated romantic comedies that you should probably check out.
They came together.
Eventually.
Writing it down.
All right, and that ends my Netflix report.
Okay, I have one other thing to share.
Let
me just finish writing together. Okay. So, the guy I am renting a room to, he is a huge Mystery Science Theater guy. He runs the Mystery Science Theater Club here in Chicago. He does, showings like twice a month. He also goes to conventions. He is actually, there is a convention called Sci-Fi right here in Chicago. And he is going to be he's working on with some other comedic type writers on doing some of his own riffing type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he is going to be sitting down and riffing a movie with, what is her name? I have blanked. That's not even why I brought it up. What I brought that up is that he's really into bad movies, and interesting things. He has lent me, I found out he just acquired the David Hasselhoff, Nick Fury movie from the, what is that, late 80s, early 90s.
Whoa.
So I have, yes, I have an actual hard copy DVD of that in my possession to be watched sometime in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully I'll be bringing that report in soon. Now, the other thing that was interesting, so he is going to be doing a, where is she? Gigi Edgley.
Mm-hmm.
Gigi Edgley. Chiana from Farscape. It found out he was doing this whole Mystery Science Theater thing at Sci-Fi. She is one of the guests.
Oh.
And yes, so she wanted to hook up and participate. So he's going to be doing this, recording it, and at some point probably posting it online. So when that posts, if everything works out like it's supposed to, because I hear the convention is having a few problems because it's a very new convention. It's only its second year.
Mm-hmm.
So he could, this weekend, be meeting somebody very, very famous. Well, relatively famous. Famous is, you know, a relative term. But I thought that was pretty awesome.
No, you're going to have to let me know how that goes.
So that wraps me up on this end.
All right, so that is the news, and that is going to be our show. So everyone, thank you for listening, and I'm going to bypass the spiel about going to the website or Twittering us, and I'm just going to say thank you for listening. Do something fun. That might include a movie or a TV show or whatever, and thank you, and we will catch you next time.
Good night, everybody.